2. Daniel chapter 10. I tell you, what a difference a day makes, huh? Yesterday, I wanted to put on my Daisy Dukes today. I got to put on flannel. Daniel chapter 10. Let's read about the first 12 verses before we actually get into the lesson here this morning. Y'all doing all right? Everybody doing all right? Good, good. Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 1. The third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, nor meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris River, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with a gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so they had fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sounds of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. And I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Who's got some cliff notes on chapter 10 before we start? Who wants to start this off before we look at this?
It showed that Daniel, through humility, had fasted and prayed and asked to be shown the vision that he was seeing, that was brought on to him. And he, through him fasting and praying, God sent someone to give him the strength to stand and fight against the things that about to come about in their lives. The people who was around him fleed because they was terrified for what the things that Daniel was seeing, they couldn't interpret it, so they got afraid of. So with Daniel interpreting it through Michael, Archangel Michael, he was able to stand strong in his word and be a vision for the other people to be strong. So that's what I got out of it.
All right, that's your chapter 10. Anybody else got any cliff notes on 10?
I think it shows the struggles between heaven and earthly powers.
Definitely does that. Here's my question this morning. We're going to start off right here. Anybody ever wondered what was happening when it seems that your prayers just seem to go unanswered? And you ask yourself, why is God not answering my prayer? Why is he not answering my request? Because it seems like there's a delay in the response from God. Anybody ever been You ever been in that place? Like there's a delay in God answering your prayer. Look, a lot of people are diligently praying about different things in their life, and they simply don't seem to have a response from God. But I want to tell you about Daniel 10 just initially before we get into the prophecy, the vision. That Daniel 10 helps us to learn about God and helps us learn about prayer because Daniel is going to experience the same delay in unanswered prayer just like we do. And we should also be interested that Daniel's prayer is delayed and being answered because we know that Daniel is not delayed because Daniel is a faithful and he's greatly loved by God. So when you get on your high horse and you're thinking that God is delayed in your prayer because you're not doing what you're supposed to do or because you're thinking something about yourself or projecting low self-image, the Bible says Daniel was greatly loved by God and he was faithful. If you remember in chapter 9, God immediately answered Daniel's prayer, immediately in chapter 9. Now this time, it's delayed. I mean, in chapter 9, it said the moment that he began to pray, he was sent an answer, chapter 9, verse 23. But this time, the answer is delayed. So why are prayers sometimes delayed? Anybody got an answer for that? I certainly don't. I don't know. I mean, we know full well that you grow up and you ask your parents questions sometimes, and it seems like this is ignoring you. Like, they don't never answer you, right? And then later on down the road, you find the answer to the question. But sometimes even your parents don't answer you immediately. And who can know the reason for that? Who can know? But before we examine this chapter, I need to observe the context of this prophecy. Daniel chapter 10 describes how the vision came to Daniel. I want you to know that chapter 11 describes the contents of that vision. And Daniel chapter 12 instructs Daniel what he's supposed to do with that vision. So we got 10, 11, and 12, and that's going to be the last lessons for the book of Daniel, right? So these final three chapters, they belong together as one message, but you know, you can't do all three chapters in one Sunday hour. You just can't do that. I'd be amiss to do that because we won't get everything we need. And we're going to look at only one portion of the whole today, and that's going to be the 10th chapter. So the first verse of chapter 10 tells us that it was the third year of the reign of King Cyrus, which means it was about 536 B.C. And we are told that a word from the Lord was revealed to Daniel about a great conflict. And he understood the word and understood the vision. But it was a sad and terrifying message because Daniel goes into mourning for how long? 3 weeks. He says, man, I got to go into mourning for 3 weeks. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to go into mourning for 3 weeks. But during these 3 weeks, he didn't even anoint himself, the Bible says. And while standing on the banks of the Tigris River, he sees another vision. The people with Daniel didn't see the vision at all, but something happened to cause them to run because they were terrified as a result of that, and Daniel was left standing alone. Verses 5 through 6 says he sees a mighty messenger. And what caused him to lose strength and fall right on his face because he's a mighty messenger. The description of the messenger is very similar to the description given in Revelation chapter 1, right? We look at Revelation 1 and beginning in verse number 12, the Bible says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw 7 golden lampstands. In the midst of those lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like the burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first, the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades as well. A lot of people think when they read this that Daniel saw the Son of God in his vision. What do you think about that? Did he see the Son of God or not? Well, did he? Who says yes? Say yeah? You think he saw the Son of God in his vision? Well, you know why this is not the case? Because the messenger does not identify himself as the Lord God to Daniel. Further, later on in the chapter, you're going to find it becomes clear that this is one of God's angels. Because what he said was, I had problems with the prince of Persia, remember? And I needed somebody to help me. God doesn't need anybody to help him. Right? So it's crystal clear that this is not at all, the Son of God that he's speaking about. Right? It's a message from God that he's bringing, and the hand touches Daniel and sets him on his hands and his knees. You know, I think about these things sometimes, but in a different context. I wonder if even today, if an angel was to appear in that particular capacity to me, or maybe even any of you, how would you respond to that? What do you say, Sister Brown? But why would we be scared? Because of preconceived notions, or what makes us afraid?
They're not used to it.
Never saw it before. So fear of the unknown, you think, is what it is? He says that Daniel fell down on his face and knees in fear. But he had spoken to an angel before, right? So why is it he's trembling, his hands and knees are shaking, and he's falling down before this messenger? I'm going to tell you, not only am I going to fall, I'm going to be trying to crawl and get away. So you think he was too weak because he didn't have nothing on board?
Pardon me?
You think he was too weak because he didn't have nothing on board? He fell down on his knees because he was weak from not eating and drinking?
I don't think so. Like, take for instance, if your prayer is for, your daughter, she's on the board. Your prayer is for Aaron to have a job. And for 3 weeks, you fasted, you did whatever. And then Aaron came and said, Daddy, I got a job. Just think how you will feel, you know? You'll be happy, don't get me wrong, but if an angel was to show you that, you would be, I'd be weak to just know that, man, it was that quick. Even though I know God works in mysterious ways, it was like, that was quick.
What you got, Brother Anderson?
At this particular time, Daniel's about 90 years old.
Old man. He was afraid this time, though, so much so he was trembling, knocked down his knee. Right? That's what the angel said, though, because he was fearful. Yeah, because he was fearful.
My point is, why should, if mama or daddy had shown me something or whooped me for something, I know what's coming when it's promised to me.
I'm still scared, though. Yeah, you don't know what, look, because growing up in my time, you didn't know what she was going to beat you with. See? Right, or even in the time span you want.
See what he has done for me and the people of Israel.
You know, when you see that picture, that vision that Isaiah had, when he looked in the throne of God, he says, I'm no more than ashes before God, right? Because the fear that he had, again, was something that he had never experienced. And just to be able to, I guess, understand with the mind that we have, to see the face of God would, I mean, it would, who knows? But this was just an angel. And he was a mighty messenger from God. He said he was a strong messenger. And Daniel looked at him and he had great fear. He says, no, nah, you don't need to be scared.
I got a question. We keep saying that this was an angel. I get caught up on when he describes himself saying, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore.
That's in the book of Revelation, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. It does. So, let me read this to you again. You ready for this? Let's go back to Daniel chapter 10. And go to verse number 12, and it should help you. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for far from the first day that you sent your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me. Who needs to help God? With me? It's similar to the description of the Son of Man. It's a simile, but it's not the Son of Man. It's not God at all. It's God sending a messenger to give him the answer to the vision that he had about his people. All right? For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Always have. Let's contrast that to what you're saying. Every time Daniel had an incident and God came to help him, God didn't even identify himself to Daniel. The lion's den, it just says there were how many men in there? Yeah. The fiery furnace, right? But also in the lion's den, Christ appeared and he closed the mouth of the lions. Didn't identify himself. Listen. God didn't have to identify himself because we know who he is, or rather should know. Daniel has been praying all of his life in captivity, and he is greatly loved by God, and God has been helping him through all of those things. Matter of fact, he had great favor among all the people while he was in captivity. Daniel was a man of God, and he knew who God was, and he constantly prayed to God, and his prayers were constantly answered. He had that kind of relationship. But this time, this vision kind of shook him because it refers to the latter days of what's going to happen to his people. He had about 2 more years before they got out of captivity. So what's going to happen now? You had something, Brother Hanson?
Yes, I'm going back to the lion's den. Mm-hmm. Now, those three dudes weren't afraid of dying.
Nope.
He
wasn't fearful in that instance for his life.
Right.
Because he says, whether you do it to me or not, I'm still not going to bow down, because I know God, even if he doesn't rescue me, I'm still not going to bow down to you. So he wasn't fearful for his life so much as he had the reverence and fear for who God was. And any time we find ourselves in the presence of God, you better bow down.
Right. Now, I kind of see that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm so scared that I can't move, but I still have the fear and the reverence.
He did. And he was shaking. And he was trembling. You know, it was incredible. But he was greatly loved. And he says, I want you to stand up, and I'm going to speak to you. Stand upright, for I've been sent to you. And once the messenger says these words, look what it says. Daniel stands up and he's still trembling. And that trembling is addressed in verse 12. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. There's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear, Daniel. Because the messenger has come because of Daniel's prayer. Right? And Daniel prayed to God. And I want you to notice that that message is similar to the message in chapter 9. From the first day he set his heart to understand, he humbled himself before God. He does. A lot of people go to pray to God with a lot of pride in their hearts. They don't humble themselves before God. So there's never going to be any fear or reverence in your heart to God at all, because you're dictating to God what you want done or how you want him to respond or what time you want him to respond. But the answer to that prayer was delayed. All right? When you set your heart to understand the message of God and you humble yourself before God, God hears your prayers. You're going to hear them. It's all about humility. So don't be troubled by the declaration that we see some of these things. A lot of people are troubled by the declarations that we see in the scriptures because they don't understand them. All right? But the scripture is clear about one thing. About one thing. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And God clearly hears our prayers, and he will answer them for those of us who are faithful to him. It's a caveat right there, right? Right? In 1 Peter 3:7, this is what it says. And I don't think a whole lot of people pay attention to this, but I need you to see this. 1 Peter 3:7, this says, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. And here's the reason for that, men. So that your prayers may be not hindered. So how you look at your wife and how you deal with your wife, either can help or hinder your prayer. I need you to see that. Because sometimes we just read over things, right? Yeah. Don't take it for granted. God gave you that wife for a reason. Don't take it for granted. God gave you that husband for a reason as well. And I'm not letting wives off the hook, but we're talking to men right now. Right? Listen to what Peter says to the Jews of the dispersion. You show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, because they are heirs with you in the grace of life. Heirs and co-heirs, joint heirs. They're not just you and they. No. Honor that so that your prayers are not hindered. Because some people might be praying amiss because they're not even treating their wives the way that, you with me? And you know it. And we know it. You better get with it. Because we're going to be leaders in the church. They ask the question, and it's wide open. How can you be leaders of the household of God if you can't even lead your own one? Got too many women wearing pants. And the man wearing the dress now. Yeah, come on now. Come on now. Prayer's going to be hindered. That's another subject altogether. We got to live with our wives properly, right? Because our prayers are going to be blocked. We're not behaving as God has called us to behave. We cannot even think that God is going to even listen to us. We can't do that. Remember Proverbs 15:29? The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. That's crystal clear to me. Crystal clear. Jews of dispersion, 1 Peter 3:10, whoever loves life and wants to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. seek peace and pursue it. The idea of pursue it is run after peace. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know, Peter's answer is that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But it's not the case for those who do evil, whatever it might be. The power of prayer is not in us, but it's in the God to whom we pray to. That's where the power comes from, right? Prayer is a wholehearted dependence upon God, not upon us. It's a wholehearted dependence upon God. And it only belongs to us and involves us when we humble ourselves before him. And sometimes we pray and we wonder what in the world is wrong. And why do we do that? When we pray and wonder what's wrong, we're saying that the power belongs to us because we can control the outcome, right? The power does not belong to us. We cannot make God do anything. But we ask the Almighty to act for his own glory and his own good and allow our will and our desires to align with his will and his desires for his purposes, right? How many people in here struggle with prayer sometimes? Come on now, you know you do. You just wouldn't be right if you didn't, right? We struggle with prayer sometimes. We do. Sometimes we look for answers. But again, if you remember, also in the book of Daniel, we went over a lesson where we outlined the fact that too many times we pray for the outcome, right? And too many times we pray for the income, right? And we don't pray according to God's will. We just don't. The first question we must ask ourselves, are we seeking the answers that come from the Lord and humble ourselves? Or have we decided to do what we want and try to get God to do what we want?
You remember
the story of the woman who kept going to the king?
Yeah, persistent.
Over and over and over and over again. And you're not going to ever wear God out. But it says that she wore him out, so he says, I'm going to help you. God is not man. Not going to wear him out. So keep on asking him. And the things that we need to keep asking God for is that his will be done in our lives. That's the prayer that we need to constantly pray continually over and over again.
Well, I think I struggle with if he's saying no. You know, like, he's not answering because he's saying no.
Oh, yeah? You think so?
I understand that.
You think so? It took 3 weeks. It took 3 weeks here for Daniel, right? God is patient. And what we need more than anything else is that same patience that comes from God as well. Because he says, fervent and effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God gives every Christian the desires of his heart. So even if he says no, it's because he has something else in mind for you in his will. Right? He said no to us a whole lot of times. And we've come out on the other side a whole lot better. Right? What did you say, Sister Lynn? You was getting ready to say something? 30 years. 30 years. Don't stop. Don't stop. The time just hadn't come.
Is it a lot of months?
No.
Well, see, you can't pray amiss.
30 years.
Right? You can't pray amiss, right?
Like 33 years.
There you go. Keep on going. God's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, right? Yeah. Okay, Brother Tibb. Oh, boy, you better believe it.
You know, it describes our life as being but a vapor, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
James says
that.
That's what James says. But see the thing about it is that we view time, God views eternity. We just have to live in time until the end comes. Then we're going to live where? In eternity. So.
And we all do it because right in his scripture, and his Pastor Daniel did it too, because we didn't mention the 3 weeks of mourning.
3 weeks. See, sometimes we're in the midst of a spiritual battle that we just cannot see. And God is getting us through that because we can't see it, you know? You remember when, look, everybody in this room has been through something that they never thought that they'd ever go through. And they've prayed and prayed and prayed to God, and God has vindicated them and brought them out of that. And then you look back. You see, man, I thought I would never, right? Right? You know what was like that for me? I thought I'd never get out of high school. 12 years was a long time, man. Been out of high school for so long now. Man, 12 times, I don't know how many can multiply. I've been out. Old man now, you know what I'm saying? But there are some things, again, that our carnal minds can't understand when it comes to God and Him answering our prayer. But one thing that you do know is that He hears the prayers of the righteous and He will answer you. 33 years?
Yeah, that's why I'm beginning to think maybe I'm not righteous because.
Oh, see? And there's that might be it, you see? Because your faith has to be in such a way where you know full well that He has granted to you before it even happens. Before it even happens. And He may have already. You just might not have realized it.
Yeah.
Is it material or spiritual?
Material.
There you go. There you go. It may not be what's best for you.
And we have to look at the Lord as always working in the background of our lives.
Forefront too. On the side.
Yeah. Even though we ask and we don't get at that present time, it don't mean it's not coming.
Right. And don't be troubled by it. Don't be troubled by it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's the spiritual things that God gives us that are blessings we can't even count. Because I've had in my life, and probably all of us have, had material things in our lives that we thought meant so much at the time, right? And now, where are they? And what do they mean now? What is it? What do they mean? And even if He gives you what you want, are you going to be ready for it? Right, but you can't know. You can't know. Sister Brown, what you got? You can. He wants you to do that. It's wonderful.
Yeah. You don't want to say that, hey, you haven't gave it to me, so I'm losing faith.
Oh, not yet. I don't think she's saying that. I don't think she's losing faith in Him at all. Mm-hmm. She's just her time in her mind, it just hadn't come.
I'm going to be too old to enjoy it when I do
get
it.
I got the brother time.
Abraham and Sarah wasn't too old. Sister Brown. Right.
Because I'm there for you. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child, for thou to go all that I should say to send thee, where I should send thee, and whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid.
Do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, getting back to this particular context of the lesson right here about prayers being delayed and all that, what we're told next in the context of this lesson is amazing to me. The messenger says he was sent to give the answer to Daniel. However, he says, for 21 days, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. He's fighting against me. So Michael, one of the chief princes of God, came to help so he could come And make Daniel understand what is going to happen to his people in the latter days. It's amazing. For 3 weeks, there's no answer. And we ask ourselves, has God fallen asleep? Has he? Does he not care? Does he not love Daniel at all because he hasn't answered that prayer in Daniel's time? And I'm here to tell you that none of these things are the case at all. Because again, there is a spiritual battle going on in our lives that we just can't see. God's messenger was blocked from the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Michael came to help. Now, I know that we all want more understanding about what's happening right here and what it means and what it looks like, but it's not given to us, right? And this is where people veer off and they get into these different things and these different ideas about what the Bible is saying. It doesn't give that to us right there. But the point that's got to be learned from this text is that we cannot forget that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle that we can't see, and God is directing and guiding us through that battle. All of our prayers, all of our desires have to be according to the will of God. All of them. Every one of them. There's a lot of passages, but very few give us a window to look into the spiritual realm of things. Sometimes we need to be able to see that in our own lives, that we need to fear God for who he is and fear God because he guides us through the things we can't see. We need to put our hands in the hands of God for one simple reason, because we cannot fight this spiritual battle alone. And we are in the middle of conflict, just like Daniel was in the middle of conflict. And he prayed to God. He says, listen, I'm conflicted. We're getting ready to get out of this captivity. So I need you to tell me what's going to happen next. I need to know, right? God is always with us, and his armies help us to fight back the darkness of Satan in our lives. But rather than thinking that God doesn't care when we're in the middle of it and that God's not listening to us, we've got to have the faith to consider that in the midst of the spiritual battle, it is a realm that we just simply cannot see. And I'm glad I can't see it, because I don't know how in the world I would react to it. God has given us victory already. You've already won. And there always will be instances where our prayers could be answered, and our prayers sometimes may not be answered. It's sometimes that God says yes, and sometimes God says no. And sometimes it takes about 3 weeks to even get an answer, right? But in the context of this, we understand that the answer comes as a result of Daniel's vision. In verses 20 and 21, then he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to flight against the prince of Persia, and when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. There comes somebody else, battle. So once you get finished with one, the other one's right around the corner waiting for you, right? He said, but I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. God sends his angels to fight side by side for us. He's going to back us up in the fight, and the battle is going to also be won. The prince of Greece is coming, he says, and we're going to have to deal with him. But that's beside the point, according to the messenger, right? Because he's come to Daniel to have Daniel understand what's in the book of truth, understand what's going on. The outcome is already set, Daniel. It's already set. The event's already inscribed in the book of truth, in the book of life, for a latter time. That might very well be the case for this sister right here. It's already inscribed in the Book of Truth for a latter time. Time, as Brother Tibbs said, is different for us as it is for God. Right? Then you don't need to worry. God always has things in motion for us as well as he had things in motion for them. Trust is a big thing, right? Trust is a big thing. And the details of that trust are going to always be revealed in our lives every waking moment about how we live, how we move, how we speak, how we behave. That's the details of those things that's going to be revealed to us. But our prayers block when we don't humble ourselves before God, right? And seek to understand all of his ways and seek to understand all of his purposes. So when our prayer seems delayed, first of all, we have to look within ourselves, right? We've got to do that. What changes can I make to be more faithful to the Lord? We may not be asking the right things, and we might be asking sometimes for selfish desires. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but a lot of people, a lot of Christians says that. Let's go to James chapter 4. Let's just get that before we close. What does it say? James 4, 1 through 4. Who wants to read that for me? Anybody?
Okay. James 4?
Mm-hmm. 1 through 4.
For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
What y'all think about that? That's what James says, right? James says, listen, sometimes we have to understand that prayer, that the answer to prayer can be blocked because of the spiritual warfare that is happening, which we can't see. I keep saying that, right? When the answer is delayed, we have to continue to trust in the Lord, knowing that he hears and responds for the good of his people, right? What does Romans 8 say? 8:1. No condemnation, those that are in Christ Jesus, right? Who walk after the Spirit, not after the
flesh.
Right? Listen, we got to continue to trust in the Lord that he hears and responds to us for his good, for his glory, and for the good of his people. Here's what I want you to understand. Daniel is about 85 years old now. He's an old man. And most of his life, you don't think that he's been praying to get out of captivity? Been more than 3 weeks he's been praying for that. Because he went in as a teenager, right? 85 now, past senior citizenship. Would you get that at 55? And still, God says, you know what, Daniel? You got 2 more years, bro. 70 years in captivity. And he knew the prophecy. But how many of us can, if God comes right now and says, you know what? I'm going to send you to captivity for 70 years. I'm all on the ground, kicking and screaming, hands up in the air. Look, what? Think about it. But all that was for his good and his glory and for the good of his people. Every bit of it. That's what it's for, right? Life circumstances always seem to appear the way we want them to be. But you know what faith tells us? And I'm gonna hush and let somebody else talk if y'all want to before we close. Faith tells us that God loves us and he will remain faithful to us because he hears us, because we are faithful to him, and he will answer our prayers. That's a mic drop right there. Anybody else? We're going to hit this prayer and roll out.
I just want to say
yeah, go ahead, Sister Tia.
When I'm praying about a situation, whatever's going on, I think about David, when the baby with Bathsheba, and how he prayed and he fasted and he went into mourning. And then when he heard word that the baby died, he got up, cleaned himself up, and moved on, and they asked him why. Mm-hmm. He said it, there was still hope. There was still a chance that God could change his mind. So you pray until
still took the baby, right? So that was the consequences for the sin. But then you look at Abraham. He's up there with a son that's much, much stronger than him. He can overpower him. And he says, son, lay down right here. I got to sacrifice. Listen, he had to have faith as well as his dad Abraham, right? And he laid down there and he says, well, Dad, where's the sacrifice? The Bible says that Abraham had faith that even if he killed his son, that God could do what? Raise him up again. That's right. We've got to have that same faith. And no matter what we're going through, God can raise us up out of that and deliver us because he is faithful to all of his promises. Let us pray. Well, thank you so much for this day and this time and this hour you've given us, that we might open our hearts and minds to get another portion of your word. We ask that, Father, that I will humble ourselves before you and that our prayers might be answered in such a way that it's to your glory and to your will, Father, and that you know full well what's good for your people and that we certainly, Father, ought to have faith enough to know that you will not leave us nor forsake us and that you continue, Father, to be faithful to your promises. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth concerning your word and your will for our lives. Father, we ask that you might continue to be with us as a church, the church you purchased with your own blood. Allow those of us, Father, who are faithful to continue to grow in our journey, and those that have been waning in their faith, Father, to continue to be strengthened by those of us who are strong enough to reach down and pick them up, to encourage them and urge them on, Father. We ask that you might allow us, Father, to continue to look for you in that wonderful and glorious day when you will deliver us up unto the Father. And that time will be no more, but eternity, Father, will be the next state of our lives where we spend with you. We thank you for Jesus. Forgive us of our sins. In his name we do pray. Amen.